It's awesome. I mean, it's just the evolution of a long friendship. It's also the evolution of the information itself. You know, I believe Len Foley and I've been kind of guided by where the information is leading us. And it's a development of living foods. It's a development of superfoods. And then now we're seeing this development and kind of fleshing out of the super herb idea, or as the tonic herb idea. And so we're just following along with where the energy is going. And I think we've been very successful because we've been kind of tuning into that and where people are at. You know, what do people want to hear about? What do they want to learn about? And so we've been also really, I think, very effective at communicating to all the folks out there as to, you know, where the cutting edge is and how they can participate.
And we're here on this particular interview to talk about the cutting edge of chocolate and where that's leading us, Dave. And that brings us over to Len Foley. Len Foley recently just spent some time in Ecuador going over our amazing chocolate farms, reviewing them, checking to make sure that they're up to the highest standards. And he had some great experiences in Ecuador that he's going to share with us today. So, Len, I'd like to turn it over to you now. And what was your experience going down to Ecuador? What were some of the surprises and what were some of the pleasant ones, as well as some of the other experiences that you had that could educate our listeners in terms of what's going on down there in the chocolate trade?
Well, one of the biggest surprises was actually getting into Robert Williams' vortex, his world, which is basically the chocolate world of Ecuador, and really experiencing that firsthand. I've known Robert Williams for a few years now and really have a lot of respect for his genius and being able to really source the best superfoods and the best super herbs in the world, in my opinion. And I would believe in Dave's opinion as well, because again, he's not a person that just wants to make a quick buck. He actually only picks the stuff that he personally eats, and he only eats the best. So one of the things that I discovered when I was with Robert was, first of all, we don't actually get our chocolate from farms, which is may come as a surprise to a lot of people. There are no farmers, quote-unquote farmers, who actually produce our chocolate. We get our chocolate from fields. And the difference is, and this may be very shocking to a lot of people, when I was in Ecuador, we drove by many farms, many chocolate farms. In fact, thousands and thousands of acres of cacao fields that I personally toured and drove by and drove around and met some of the farmers that were actually caring for these different farms. And what was very interesting about that is that all the chocolate farms that I saw, and I'm not saying 85% or 99%, I'm saying all of the chocolate farms that I saw in Ecuador were CCN 51 chocolate bushes. They weren't even really chocolate trees. And I think people really need to realize that even if you're getting your cacao, purely organic cacao, the chance of you getting organic cacao that's not CCN 51 is very slim. And the reason why I say that is to create a CCN 51 cacao plant does not take that much time. In fact, the cacao, and I call them bushes because they're only about 5 or 6 feet tall, and they have to grow these bushes in between banana plants to actually shade them, because as David will explain in a minute, cacao needs a lot of shade. The old way of growing cacao was you'd have these 30 to 40 foot trees that would be anywhere from, you know, 35 to 40 years old. These older trees would produce a pretty consistent crop, but not nearly as much as these CCN 51 plants. And these CCN 51 trees, or bushes as I like to call them, you can literally plant a seed, and within 3 to 5 years, you could start producing chocolate and actually reaping chocolate from these plants. And a lot more comes off of these bushes than an actual cacao tree. So within a cacao tree, which is the only chocolate that we supply at the Longevity Warehouse, comes from old trees in high elevation from fields, naturally occurring fields. The difference between chocolate that comes from a cacao tree and chocolate that comes from these quote-unquote bushes is that when you enter these fields, you literally become like a target for just thousands and thousands of insects, and there are amphibians and worms and frogs. Just everywhere you look, there are mosquitoes and flies. It's because it's a naturally occurring ecosystem that you're entering into. When I traveled through a lot of these CCN 51 hybridized farms, we didn't hear a single thing. We didn't see any animals. We didn't see any amphibians, no worms or frogs, and not a single mosquito. I could walk around in shorts and a t-shirt in these farms and not worry about getting bitten by a mosquito, whereas when we're in the fields that Robert Williams had found, a lot of these fields, I had literally put a hat on with a hood over the hat, pulled down over my face and my hands covered, because there were so many mosquitoes everywhere. And that by itself is a shocking revelation, because the reason why that there's no mosquitoes and insects and amphibians in a lot of the CCN 51 plantations or farms, as, you know, as we call them, is because they're so heavily sprayed. And sprayed with what? We have no idea. So one of the things that really distinguishes what we're doing with the Longevity Warehouse and all of the other chocolate or raw cacao producers is that we have somebody who lives in Ecuador, because it's not enough to go to Ecuador and meet farmers or meet people who are you buying your chocolate from and hear their story. You actually have to have somebody in Ecuador who lives there and speaks the language and actually works with the people who produce the chocolate that you're getting, and they know exactly where it's coming from, where, you know, when it's been harvested, and who actually is harvesting it, and have a relationship with all these people. Because if you don't have a relationship with these people, chances are they're going to say they're giving you one thing, and chances are you're going to be getting something completely different. So it was a really eye-opening experience. I have a lot of video footage actually that I'll be releasing very soon of my tours through some of these chocolate plantations or farms, and then also the specific fields that we harvest our chocolate from. Now, another difference is we can't supply as much chocolate as a lot of other chocolate suppliers, because ours is literally hand-picked from tall, huge trees. That makes it much more difficult for us to actually get that chocolate. It's a much more labor-intensive process than somebody walking up to a 5-foot tree and just pulling it off. They literally have to either climb the trees or get these long shears to cut the chocolate down. But it's a very labor-intensive process, and this is actually supporting many local people. And again, it's not local farmers. These are local people that have these fields on their property or near their property, and they just harvest the chocolate for us. And Robert goes in and works directly with all these people and has relationships with them for them to harvest this for us. So again, these aren't professional farmers. These aren't professional, quote-unquote, you know, business people. These are just folks that are just lucky enough to have these really high-elevation crops on their land, and they're kind enough to enter into a relationship with our company through Robert Williams so we can supply the best chocolate in the universe. And you will taste the difference when you try this chocolate, because it is so highly mineralized and so potent. It's actually, it tastes and feels like eating an herb sometimes when you eat this chocolate, because it's just so potent. And I would take the Pepsi challenge against any other cacao out there, because it's that powerful. But the reason why I wanted to have this little chat with Dave and yourself, Lou, is because I think this is a story that needs to get out there. People need to realize that not all raw organic cacao is created equal, and we really need to explore where chocolate is being sourced from and why ours is absolutely the best.
Okay, awesome. There's a lot of interesting things, and I want to come back to Robert Williams and some of the other things that are going on down in Ecuador. I'd like to turn it over to you now, Dave, and just talk about, you're a cacao farmer yourself. You're growing cacao. You've had some great experiences with cacao. Not only that, Dave, you're also one of the main personalities responsible for the huge influx in the raw cacao movement. We've seen this whole transformation over the last decade of cacao being introduced into our health food stores, Whole Foods, different markets, different products, various forms of raw chocolates, superfood chocolates, and this is in large part due to the work that you've spent just tirelessly going through various lectures and town after town after town, giving the download on the benefits of raw cacao. So what is what Len had to say, how does that relate to your experience as a cacao grower yourself and the ramifications in terms of the qualities of the cacao possessed by the high elevation crop compared to, say, the low CCN 51 bushes? What are the differences that we can expect from those two? And then what are some of the insights you have as a cacao grower, the things that are needed to produce a good quality cacao tree?
Okay, well, I first want to just talk about the different varieties of cacao that are out there, because when we start throwing names around like CCN 51 or Arriba Nacional or Criollo variety chocolate, or Amelanado, or Marañón, or any of these other names, it can become awful confusing very quickly. So I'm going to just kind of summarize where we are in our understanding of the different varieties of cacao and why we go to the original indigenous wild cacao from Ecuador, which is Arriba Nacional, instead of the hybrid CCN 51, which is sold really because it's a very hardy bush. It is a bush more than a tree. It's extremely hardy, and it produces very high amounts of chocolate very quickly, not very good chocolate. In fact, it's poor tasting, but that's why CCN 51 has kind of taken over Ecuador, and we've got our guys in there fighting to keep Arriba Nacional in the game. And And that's really one of the main thrusts of our work in Ecuador is to resuscitate and revive the original Ecuadorian chocolate, which is Arriba Nacional. There was published in 2008 an article called Geographic and Genetic Population Differentiation of the Amazonian Chocolate Tree. And this article is probably the most important work in differentiating the different types of cacaos that are out there that has been done ever. And it was a genetic germplasm examination of all the cacao from Central America all the way down into the Amazon, including Ecuador and Colombia and Venezuela. And what came to light as a result of that was different clusters of different types of cacao. A melanado is the kind that's growing in the Amazon. I've had that in the Amazon. It almost looks like a melon. That's why they call it a melanado. There's Contamana. There's Criollo varieties, which are all Central American varieties, by the way. And you hear Criollo thrown around quite a bit. Criollo is a dainty, it's really a beautiful tree, because I grow Criollo, some Criollo varieties we brought in from Central America into Hawaii, and it's a very dainty mountain cacao. And it's very delicate and beautiful, and it's a fun tree to grow, but it's delicate. It's not a very hardy species, and it's definitely not a very good producing species, and not necessarily the best tasting either. You know, it's kind of this thing that gets thrown around in the chocolate world. Criollo is the best. Not really. It could be in some areas for sure, but not really. There's Guyana, there's Iquitos cacao, there's Marañón, there's Nané, Purus, and Nacional. The Arriba Nacional is what we're talking about here, because here we're talking about a very tried and true type of cacao that's been grown in Ecuador since the beginning of time, and it had to be differentiated around the turn of the century, maybe 1900, because there was a bunch of Venezuelan cultivars that were being brought in, and of those hybrid varieties, CCN51 came to dominate. So the variety that we work with, again, is the wild original Ecuadorian cacao that's really a tree that grows in the jungle, and some of them are 35 or 40 years old. Some of those trees are much older than that, and they produce a much richer mineral content cacao that has a richer, darker flavor, more of a coffee flavor. It has more lignans in it. You know, for those folks who are coffee drinkers and are listening right now, the lignin is kind of that black stuff that's in roasted coffee. That lignin is what really can give that richness of taste, whereas a young CCN51 hybrid, it's not digging that deep into the soil. It hasn't been there that long. The beans are really big, and it doesn't really have that lignin formation, which is a lot of the magic of chocolate. That gives it that deep essence, that deep aroma that you're used to with a really good chocolate. Now, out of all of these cacao varieties, Arriba Nacional, is the way we do it is we actually get it right from the pod. So there's no trickery going on. There's no beans that have already been processed, because it's hard to tell. Once they've already been processed into cacao beans, it's hard to tell what you're dealing with. But when you get it from the pod, you know exactly what you're dealing with. And it's processed through our technology right from pod, which is the fruit that contains all the cacao beans in it. It's really a nut tree, by the way. Cacao is really a nut tree. And each pod contains about 30 cacao nuts or cacao beans. And then they're processed right along into different chocolate products, the chocolate powder, the cacao butter, the paste, the whole cacao beans that we're working with, and the nibs. And those are all the products that come out of the Arriba Nacional project that we have going on in Ecuador.
Just so everybody knows, anybody can do business in Ecuador. You can go down there tomorrow and buy, you know, dehydrated bananas and raw chocolate. You can get pretty much anything you want. But if your, you know, goal is to get the highest quality foods at reasonable prices that you can deliver to people for reasonable prices, that is a whole different story, because it is very difficult for somebody who has a high quality standard to go into there and demand that quality standard and expect them to actually adhere to it. The bottom line is they want your business, and they'll say pretty much anything that they need to say in order to get that business. And again, it doesn't mean that you're going to be getting food that's going to be super heavily sprayed, but again, it may not be the best ever. And unless somebody's down there living, and I really, you know, living down there with Robert for over 7 days, and just we traveled over 1,000 miles together all through Ecuador, checking out all these different farms all over the place. It was a real eye-opener, because he would explain this to me again and again, but I didn't really get it until I was there. And once you've driven by, you know, acre after acre after acre of all these different cacao fields, and you realize that almost everything you're looking at is hybridized, it puts it all into perspective, because then you wonder, well, where's the real chocolate? Where can I find the real chocolate? And then when we drove into these, like, you know, these dirt roads into these areas that probably very few people ever venture to enter into. And then you see that that's where our cacao comes from, in these very intensely muddy areas, because it all the cacao is grown from natural rainwater, and the mud is so thick. I mean, you get mud caked all over your shoes. It's everywhere. It's just like this big, thick, muddy. It's all mineral mud, like it's all highly charged mineral mud. But it's amazing. It's not a place that you'd want to vacation to, or it's not a place that you'd want to go down and do business to. It's a place that you're going to source the best superfoods and the best chocolate from. And so I really got a deep appreciation for exactly what Robert is doing. He is basically out there in the jungles of Ecuador, sourcing the best products, and he doesn't care what it takes. So, you know, we've been very patient with Robert because we realize what he's doing is not normal business practice. It's literally trying to source the best products in a world that is a little bit difficult to navigate, and it takes a lot of skill, and obviously he speaks fluent Spanish, so that helps him quite a bit, and he knows a lot of people there through relationships that he's cultivated over the years. So he has a very strong network of people that he works with, that trusted comrades that he knows that will only give him the real deal when he asks for it. So yeah, it was a big eye-opener for me, and I realized just how impossible it would be if I were to try to do this on my own or travel down to Ecuador twice a year and try to source products, because I know for a fact I would be lied to. I would be ripped off. There was no way I'd be able to go down there and do business without getting ripped off, because I'm not of there. I don't live there. So we're very fortunate to have somebody like Robert Williams, who's on the front lines for us all the time, you know, in living this lifestyle and really just trying to get the best of the best any way that he can. And we're very fortunate to have that.
That's fantastic. That shows a really great light onto what he's doing down there. And Dave, I know you're very aware of Robert Williams' dedication to, you know, high quality. And for the people who are listening, Dave, can you talk a little bit about the way cacao fits into our modern culture? I know some of your presentations at the Longevity Now conference, you've explained in great detail about how indigenous peoples would make like a daily cacao drink, and that would be their medicine. They would mix their local herbs. So, for example, in the Amazonian system, they would be mixing some of the Amazonian herbs in with the cacao. Can you talk a little bit how that translates into a modern Western lifestyle? In a similar way, how can we make a sort of daily cacao drink? Should we be making a daily cacao drink? Or what is our approach as, you know, for example, modern Americans? How are we going to integrate that sort of daily ritual into our protocol? And with what other things should we be mixing with our cacao?
Chocolate itself is the world's favorite food, and it's always been a tremendous delivery system of medicine. That's its original incarnation. That's the way it was originally used all along. In fact, most of the original cacao beverages, and it was always served as a beverage actually, were unsweetened. So they would be taken bitter. So it was, you'd take your bitter herbs, you'd put your chocolate in there, you'd crush it up as best as you can. Back then, all they had was molinillos. You didn't have blenders, but they did the best they could, and they'd make a beverage out of it, a hot beverage, and they'd drink it down, and that was their medicine. And it was something that I'm sure in India or in China, they had approximated to with their different formulas, like the Chivan Prash formula that's taking their top herbs and mixing it with honey and trying to get to that chocolate, lignin-rich, aromatic flavor, but they weren't able to get there. And in Chinese medicine, their whole super pill idea where they take all their favorite herbs and roll them up into a honey ball and try to get that rich, dark flavor, but couldn't get it because they didn't have chocolate. Well, here in the Amazon and here in the New World and here in Central America and here in Ecuador on this side of the world, they were able to get to it. They were able to nail that particular combination of essences, the herbal essence and the chocolate aroma and flavor, and bring together what I believe is really the future of healing in terms of herbalism, because you could take an herb and powder it and try to eat it, and you're going to gag most of the time. But when you mix it with chocolate, it's a whole nother story. It actually comes into your body as food. Your body identifies it as food, and you immediately eliminate the biggest problem in herbalism, which is compliance. Will you actually eat it? And what we're doing is we're just taking an ancient system of herbalism, which is the cacao drink with all the herbs in it, and we're just upgrading it to the modern age. right, to our present day time. And we're able to take whichever herbs we really like. If we're in the temperate regions and we like horsetail and nettles, boom, we'll do that. If we love the Amazonian herbs like pau de arco and cat's claw, then boom, we can do that. We can go back to those original formulas. We're able to take some of the original superfoods that we're eating with chocolate, like maca and acai, then mix those together and make that happen. We're able to take some of the Chinese herbs now and the Ayurvedic herbs, whether it's astragalus or hoshuwu or a Shizandra berry or gynostemma, and tulsi and ashwagandha and shatavari, and we're able to mix that with chocolate now in the way that probably the ancient Vedics, the ancient Taoists had always wanted to get to those flavor components, but now we get that at home. And it all begins with the drink, because what it's doing is it's saying, hey, you want to overcome any objection to herbalism, let's throw everything into a chocolate drink. Here's how you do it. And you can do it in a number of ways. And just for the folks who are listening right now where this is new to you, you can take your tea, let's say it's green tea, something real simple, and you blend the cacao into it. And then you add, you know, it could be cacao powder, it could be cacao paste, it could be cacao beans, it could be a little bit of cacao butter, whatever works for you, whatever you want to do it. You blend it all together, and you get this amazing combination. And if you need a little bit sweetened, then you use a little bit of honey, or maybe you blend a few berries in there, and boom, you're right on track to developing these chocolate drinks that I'm referencing here. That's how you start. You know, very simple. You take your herbal tea, you blend a little cacao into it, boom, you're off to the races. And I do this a lot whenever I turn people on to my teas, because I'm just a tea maker. It's genetic. I don't know. I just have this thing about tea making. And I put a little bit of cacao paste into the tea when it's hot, and it melts. And then I serve that to people with just a little tiny bit of honey, not too much, just give them a nice little edge. And the tea might be something like, I like the longevity tea, the gynostemma tea. And people drink that, and they're like, my God, what is going on here? Because it has the essence of a hot chocolate. It has the essence of something we're familiar with. But people just, they can't land it, because they didn't see me actually even blend anything. Because I can just take a little piece of the cacao paste, throw it in there, and it melts. And so this is really kind of a fun party trick, and an easy way in for beginners. And those folks who are more intermediate and advanced students, then, you know, what we're really doing for you is we're just taking a very powerful wild cacao variety, the Arriba Nacional, from Ecuador, and just making it available to you and processed pure all the way through. So it's done from A to Z correctly, the way we want it to be done, not in the way they think we want it to be done, but in the way that only our guy will know exactly what to do. And that's why it's set up that way now. And it's been a long haul, and we are more than excited to have these products out there now, this entire chocolate line of wild Arriba Nacional goodies that's going to be for all of us and helping out everybody who can get their hands on this stuff.
We want to thank both Len Foley and David Wolf, two pioneers in the health industry, getting us these products, having them available to us, keeping multinational corporations and GMO at bay, supporting the small organic farmer, and really taking care of the planet through the businesses that we choose to support and the information that we're putting forth through the Best Day Ever, the media blog, and through so many avenues. This has been fantastic information. So I want to thank you both, David Wolf and Len Foley.
Thank you, Lou.